We'll get started a little bit earlier tonight. Sorry we got started late. Luke chapter 1 is where we're at. And thanks for turning on the screen. I just thought about it that I'd forgotten to turn it on. Luke chapter 1, it's one of the longest chapters in the whole New Testament. It's 80 verses. Most chapters of the Bible are 30-something verses. Average about that, 32 verses or something like that. 80 verses in the book of Luke chapter 1. We finished last week. We had that it was dedicated to Theophilus, that could be the actual name of the person. It's a Greek word, but it could be a Greek person's name that Luke is writing to, or it could just be any old friend of God. That's what Theophilus means. Then the birth announcement. John the Baptist's birth announced to Zacharias, and we went all through that. Remember, he was struck, wasn't able to talk, and until the baby was born, and that wasn't temporary; it was permanent. Okay, so we're at verse 26 now. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. We've been talking about it last week. We were talking about Elizabeth's pregnancy. So it says, now in the sixth month, and that's of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So she's in her third trimester. During that, though, the angel shows up in Nazareth, in Galilee, so up in the northern part, to a virgin betrothed to a man, a virgin. You know what that word means right there? In Greek, it's virgin. Now, you hear a lot of Bible teachers talk about that and just means a young maiden, or certainly the Old Testament thing. Prophecies are a young maiden. If it was a young maiden, what would it be the big deal about that? The whole point of the prophecy is that something different is going to happen in this whole story. So this angel appears, the angel Gabriel, and that's very few times you hear the angel's name. But the angel Gabriel appears to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. So they're engaged to be married, but in Jewish tradition, being engaged was the same as being, you are committed to that. It's not like now, if you're engaged, you can just walk away from that relationship. You couldn't in these situations. It was a contractual obligation, and you also had an obligation to fidelity. Just like if you were married, you couldn't run around with another boyfriend or something like that if you were already betrothed. So she's been betrothed to this guy named Joseph, and he's of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice!" And just think about this. It's really happening to you. This angel, which I'm thinking they're pretty shiny, this angel comes and says, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, little girls in Jewish tradition, Judaism, they had studied, limited study, but they had studied the Old Testament too. And they knew this story. And a lot of them fantasized about, little girls fantasize about getting married and all those kinds of things. Jewish girls fantasized about getting to be the mother of the Messiah. Wouldn't that just be awe? These wonderfully religious young women thought about that. And in fact, in this whole story, we see people that have thought about it, but they didn't ever think it was really going to happen. And are we ever like that? Where we're believing for something and we're looking for something on the horizon, but nobody ever really expects it when it happens. I mean, I've been surprised my own self when I go, what? Okay, so, rejoice, highly favored one. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. That sounds pretty good, right? What manner of greeting is this, though? I mean, can you imagine this person, a man, maybe a great big one, shows up and you go, what manner of greeting is this? I think it was more like, what in the world is going on? I mean, I think that's the fair translation of it. What manner of greeting is this? It's more like, what in the world is going on? And the angel said, don't be afraid. Okay. And behold, now get this. And I mean, think about, we talked about this a little bit last week when Zacharias got the message about them having a baby in their old age. So he says to her, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary says to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And we talked a little bit last week about how that's different from what Zacharias said about Elizabeth getting pregnant with John the Baptizer. And the difference was he thought about how impossible the situation was when it was improbable because of their old age, but it wasn't impossible. And so he ends up getting punished with his not being able to speak during all that time. I mean, that was essentially a punishment. But we also talked about the flip side of that coin, that it was also kind of an explanation that might have got rid of some of the gossip. Mary's not going to have that in this situation. And so when she says, What are you talking about? She's talking about something that is impossible for a girl to become pregnant and not having known a man. And it's not that she didn't know one. She's already betrothed to Joseph, right? It's that she hadn't had sexual relations with one. Okay. Sorry, you're nervous, Pam?
No.
Okay.
She
wants me to be careful. Okay. I'm pretty sure everybody here knows how it works, though. Okay. How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, and he just gives her an answer. He explains to her. He doesn't gripe at her about, you faithless one. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So it's going to be the Son of God, not the son of a man. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, and this is one of the ways he confirms to her some knowledge that nobody else knows yet, because Elizabeth, she's in her sixth month, but she hadn't told anybody. Angel says, now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. That's how it's different. But still, somewhat miraculous. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Not only the improbable is impossible, but the impossible is also not impossible. That needs to be something. You need to underline that in our Bible. With God, nothing will be impossible, even the impossible. Okay. 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 So her explanation from the angel is much different from the explanation that Zacharias had. With God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord," underline this, "let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. If that isn't underlined in your Bible, and that, man, those verses, those words right there, "let it be to me according to your word," those need to be on our lips more and more for two reasons. Because we let it be in our lives according to all kinds of people's words. According to Uncle Fred, who said, "You'll never amount to anything." We let it be according to his word all the time. We let it be according to things our parents told us. We let that word, those words be all the time. What we need to say is to God, "Let it be according to your word. Let it, everything that's in here, let in my life, let it be according to your word. Whatever your word says, that's what I want things to be in my life. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. So Mary gets up. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. I don't know exactly how long it took, and I don't know if it happened that night that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her or what happened, how all that worked, but she decides to go to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who lived in the hills outside of Jerusalem. So she travels all the way down through Samaria. Well, she may not have gone through Samaria. She probably went over into the Decapolis and came down on the eastern side of the Jordan, Transjordan. She comes down and crosses over, probably in the place that near Jerusalem where John ends up baptizing. But she comes down into the Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That had been told to Zacharias. He said, "Your son will be filled with the Holy Spirit even in his mother's womb." So the baby leaps in when she hears her cousin Mary come in, leaps with her in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord," that's big, "that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" I mean, I suppose that Zacharias may have told her the things that he heard from the angel while he was ministering in the temple, but he would have to... But he was writing things down. We know when John gets his name that he did write it down. So he's communicated to her the best he can. But he couldn't have told her a lot. This is Holy Spirit revelation.
Okay, yes, I think that that's important to understand that Mary went to Elizabeth as a like visitation, a revelation. In other words, she didn't just go to anybody and tell them. Because you go to people and tell them about what God wants you to do, and they'll try to talk you out of
it. That's a good word. That's a good application for us.
Yeah. It was a life experience. It was and she immediately went.
Right. Just like what Jacob told us on Sunday. A lot of people go, "Yeah, whatever." Yeah. And if you go to tell somebody, "An angel came and told me that even though I've never been with a man, that I'm going to have a baby." And people go, "Yeah, okay, yeah, you stick with that story." I mean,
They probably throw rocks at her.
They'd make up stories about what they thought really happened. And how many times have we had that even happen? How many times have a relative told us, that ain't the way that works, or whatever? So, exactly.
So we need to know who to tell things to.
That's a good word. That's a good word. We're used to being filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that then. All they had was what they had heard from somebody else. We're so blessed for it to be a normal thing for us to be, for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Elizabeth has this experience. Mary recognizes it, but I mean, absolute revelation. Why is the mother of my Lord coming to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, all that's revelation. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she, and I believe this is like the angel's proclamation. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. There's no way Elizabeth knows yet what Mary was even told. So that this is all revelation to her. And Mary said, and there's several songs that are here in the book of Luke. Several songs that are recorded, Psalm, P-S-A-L-M, or S-O-N-G song, however you want to do it. And this is Mary, it's known as the Magnificat, and that's the Latin word that's the first word in the psalm. My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. I mean, this is more revelation. It's coming out of her. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he's regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. Except Protestant ones. I mean, I grew up in a denomination. I'm not... Whenever I talk about the denomination that I grew up in, I'm not really bad-mouthing it. I'm thankful for it. I believe God intended it for me that way. I ended up going to a godly Bible university because of it and got my degree there. And I didn't agree with everything I've taught, but I've never agreed with everything I was taught from any person anywhere, because the Spirit in me the Spirit has taught me to be choosy. There, and we all need to do that. We need to, at certain times in life, go, no. No matter who we're listening to, unless it's this right here, and I don't mean the stuff at the bottom, I don't mean the notes at the bottom. I mean, unless it's that word right there, we need to be discriminating about what we listen to. Okay, and what we hear and what we read, all that. In that denomination, there was never anything about Mary. Because I believe that, and it's my theory about it, is to distance ourselves from the Catholic Church, we just didn't talk about Mary at all, because we were so sensitive about statues of Mary and all that kind of stuff. But we miss out on a lot of stuff. We missed out on a message from this woman that says, "May it be to me according to your word." And that's a big deal right there. In the history of Israel, women had looked for, am I going to be the one? And she accepts it so willingly. And you'll never convince me that she didn't know the bad stuff that was going to happen along with it. Okay. All generations will call me blessed, except for the Baptist Church. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. That's her message right there. Now, in between Malachi and Matthew, there's several hundred years, the intertestamental period. And during that time, a lot has happened. At the end of the King Josiah's reign, which was the end of Israel as a kingdom that had been before, they never go back to worshiping idols ever again, but they're never a nation exactly, not even like they are now. But in Jesus' day, there had been a lot of reconciliation of the nation, and so they weren't crazy running after idols anymore. But, and so a lot of the prophecy, and even the prophecy that we've looked like at, like Zechariah, not, or Zephaniah, which one did we just finish studying? Zephaniah, sorry. I get those two mixed up. Zephaniah, just like all those prophets, where redemption and reconciliation was available. And she even talks about it right here, that we come back and God's blessed everybody and he's rescued us, even from our captivity that we had experienced before. And so it says then, and Mary remained with her about 3 more months and returned to her house. So it was in the 6th month that she gets the message from the angel. And then 3 more months, how many months is that? That's 9 months. And so I don't know if she waits until John is born or not, or leaves before he's born. But she stays there just a little bit longer. 3 more months.
The word is what is confirmed, even in Mark 16, the last verse. It said he went with them, but with confirming the word with signs following. So God, we're a conduit. We're a person that's used of God, and he will use us. But it's the word that will be confirmed with signs and wonders.
Okay.
So we've got to agree with the word no matter what.
Amen. Let it be to me according to your word. Yeah. Okay, remember that back in the very beginning of this chapter, verse 3, it said, Luke said, I'm putting everything down in order. So it says, now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Because remember, she was old. She was shamed. Everybody's happy because in her old age she's had this baby. Even the angel said, even in her old age. So verse 59, so it was on the 8th day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. Okay, so that's the normal time. On the 8th day after the child is born, they're going to circumcise him, and they're going to name him Zacharias after his father. And his mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. They said, John, there's nobody named John in your family. And they always use family names. But they said to her, there's nobody, no relatives by that name. So they made signs to the father what he would have him called.
Wow, I think that's kind of funny because he's not deaf. He just can't talk. And there, I can just see them all going, what are you? I mean, sorry, that's always been a question for me.
Pam's major in college was speech and hearing therapy because she was going to be a therapist, because at the time you only had to have a bachelor's degree to practice that in the public school system. And so that, of course, that would come to her. He's not deaf, you idiot. Okay. So they're trying to sign to him, when you want the baby to be born. And so he asked for a writing tablet. So like Yvonne said, he'd been writing all along. And he wrote saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Why would they marvel at that? I don't know if they were marveling because he could write, or if he did it on an iPad and they were impressed with that, you know, maybe wrote it orange or something like that. Anyway, he writes it down. His name is John, so they marvel. Immediately, his mouth was, maybe they marveled because a husband and wife are in agreement. Yeah. Maybe that was a marvel. That was an absolute miracle. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loose, and he spoke praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them. I mean, because he hadn't been able to talk for 9 whole months. Fear comes on them. I don't get it. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them, there's a lot of all there, all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. There's several times in this first chapter of Luke, it said people kept it in their hearts. And the whole, so this whole town, everybody who knew them kept, wow, I wonder what's, I mean, that's some weird stuff. First, he can't talk, and they're old. And I mean, there's a whole bunch of things about it that are unusual. But what kind of, that their conclusion is, what's going to happen with this kid? It's got to be special. And the hand of the Lord was with him. So his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit again and prophesied, saying, and this is another psalm. It's not like the Beatles or anything like that, but I think that it's unusual. Jimmy, don't talk like that. God loves the Beatles. But but these songs are inspired by the Holy Spirit kind of out of them. And I don't think that Zacharias was a big songwriter. It came out of him perfectly. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. That's the message that the prophets have been talking about for hundreds of years. Kind of like Elizabeth's song, and kind of like Mary's song, and now he's got a song of his own, who has redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. This and he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. That's all about Jesus. Jesus is going to be the horn of salvation. He's going to be the one that brings redemption to his people. But then it's verse 76. It's switched to, he's talking to his own child, John. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Forerunner. That's John the Baptist shouldn't be called John the Baptizer. And he's not Baptist, you know. He's not Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, any of those things. He should be called John the Forerunner, because that's who he is. A type of Elijah, it's been talked about. That's what the angel said to his father. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. That's what he baptized people for, remission of their sins. His message was repentance, repentance, repentance. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. That's talked about in several of the Isaiah, Malachi, and the book of Revelation refers to Jesus as the day spring. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. which they had lived in. When they were in Babylon, when they were in Assyria, it was bad. Darkness. They wrote horrible, sad songs. By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept. That was to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Woo! 80 verses. Who of you have heard of the Qumran scrolls? Okay. They're scrolls that were found in the desert, in caves, in the desert of Israel, up in the, a cave up on a cliff. And there were these jars that had all these scrolls in them, the Qumran scrolls. And the Qumran people were some devout Jews who lived out in the desert and stayed out there. And they ate locusts and all kinds of desert food. And they dedicated themselves to study. And John apparently was hanging out with them. He lived in the desert his whole life. And he was apparently a pretty unusual kind of fellow.
But Matthew tells us, 11 and verse 11, verily I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there hath not been raised a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Right, that's us.
So that's us.
Yeah. Right. Had never been anybody like them. And so that's Jesus' words. Talking about his cousin, because I believe that there was argument between the two sets of disciples, John's disciples and Jesus' disciples. And Jesus sets them all straight and said, there hasn't been anybody born on the face of the earth that's greater than John the Baptist, except for all you guys. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And 1 Corinthians talks about us being the Arnots, and the thank God that he's chosen the weak of this world to confound the strong, and that the those who are not wise to confound those who think that they are wise. So I think that's what Jesus means when he talks about the least is greater even than John the Baptist.
Because we're spirit filled. I mean, not in the sense of baptism, yeah. It's in the Spirit, but we have the Spirit of God.
Yes. We're blessed with so much everything before the Holy Spirit. Well, they had the Word, and they had as best they could to how to understand the Word.
Well, but, in the Old Testament, it was priests and the prophets that had the Word.
Yes.
And kings that had the Word. And so for us to have a witness on the inside of us, we
yes.
have a witness of the Holy Spirit to discern good and evil.
Which is why you've got to watch out for church groups who say that the pastor says, I'm the sole arbiter of spiritual truth.
Yeah.
That's not true.
No.
I mean, that's what the whole idea of not having a priest anymore is about. That we, the only priest we need is Jesus. We don't need some other intermediary, even when it comes to understanding the Word. We have the Holy Spirit in us that can illuminate, that can shine light on things so that we have everything in us that we need to understand Scripture. The Puritans believe that. They believe that anybody that could read the Word and understand it by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you didn't need to have some other priest tell you. And so, and I'm telling you, and you can write it down, and you can tell anybody that I did tell you, and I'll fight them right here.
We got scripture on that.
I mean, I'm telling you, watch out for groups that say, that the pastor is the sole interpreter, arbiter, whatever word you want to use. The pastor has the last word on what Scripture means.
He's the under-shepherd.
Yes.
He's not the shepherd.
And I'm telling you that you are the last word on what Scripture means. That's why I tell you that no matter what study Bible you use, and no matter how good the notes are at the bottom, you should be willing every time you read one of those notes to go, no. You should be able to say that about anything. When you listen to somebody on TV, I don't care who it is. When you listen to them on TV, you should be able to hear and go, no, that's not right.
I believe that scripture. I've heard baby Christians that have been in the presence of people that was telling things wrong, and they knew there
yes.
was a quickening that they
yes.
knew. But it wasn't right. So I believe that's what that means. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, John, the one who the disciple that Jesus loved, he tells us in 1 John, says nobody needs a teacher. You have
right.
the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he's
yeah.
saying that knowing that Jesus gave 5 gifts to the church, apostle, prophet, evangelist,
yeah.
pastor, teacher.
Yeah.
So we don't need them. We can hear from the Holy Spirit, but we get to be part of that.
Yes.
Well, and in Jeremiah, when God said, no, I'm going to do a new thing,
yeah.
that neighbor is not going to have to teach neighbor. People are going to know it in their heart. That's what it says.
Yeah.
So,
but just like you're saying, one of the big differences between sheep and goats is sheep are very particular in what they'll eat.
Yeah.
Goats will eat anything you give them. And so that's going to tell you.
Worship.
10 games or anything.
Yeah.
You're saying that's one of the differentiations.
Yeah.
Is
so if you're eating anything that anybody gives you because they're saying they're Christian.
Yeah.
And you're going to be on the left-hand side, and that's
yeah.
not a good place to
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Sheep has to be led.
Yeah.
You cannot drive sheep anywhere.
You can drive cattle, but not sheep.
Not sheep.
Okay. Yeah, he's not the good cowboy.
Or cats.
Running water, they will not cross. Running water.
Okay.
You have to take them around that creek if that water is running, because they're not going through it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sheep.
That's why God called a sheep.
Well, yeah, my sheep know my voice.
Voice, yeah.
And so Jesus is spoken. God has spoken yeah. through me through people that are not, don't know him.
Yeah.
But because I know his voice.
We've had sheep and cattle too, and
yeah.
they do recognize your voice. And actually, my pickup, I could fire my pickup, and I guarantee here they come just as fast as they can come, because they knew it was about time to
and
get
a bucket of cubes. They recognize that sound too. So, all right.
Food is coming.
Let me pray for us.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we don't have to wonder at what a gift the word is to us. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand it and know even beyond the word. May we always, though, be faithful to measure everything that we hear against that word.
Yes.
Give us that wisdom and understanding to even eat the hay and spit out the sticks, that we are able to discriminate against from truth, from misunderstanding or just wrong teaching. And Lord, may that understanding and knowledge build us up in the faith so that we can better be Jesus to the people that we run into every day. Make us more like Jesus through the word and your spirit for your glory. And in his name, amen. Amen. Bless y'all.